Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
Okay, here we go. Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley. I'm so grateful to be able to join with you now. And whether you're listening live or you're listening later, we're transcending time and space together to join together for the holy purpose of remembering our true identity. And particularly today, this is the homework class, following up on Miranda McPherson's class. I'd given her the topic, Expanding Into Love, because Spirit gave it to me. Spirit gave me a whole bunch of topics. And then I said, okay, here are the teachers, who gets which topic? And Miranda had written her beautiful book, Boundless Love, and Expanding Into Love seemed so perfect for her, which it was. It was a really deep and beautiful, precious class yesterday with lots of support for us in expanding into love, which is, of course, the antidote to all of our suffering. Expanding into the awareness of love's presence as our very life and being. So let's begin with a prayer. I like to place my hand on my heart as we remind ourselves that we're wholeheartedly available and willing to remember the truth, know the truth, recognize the truth, experience the truth. We're partnering up with the higher Holy Spirit self for the purpose of allowing our healing. We're giving the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. Every sense of despair, disappointment, regret, resentment, all hurt, all doubt, all worry, all shame, all blame, everything that bothers us, we're giving it to the Holy Spirit. We're not going to struggle with it anymore. We're setting ourselves free. We are grateful and thankful to cultivate divine insight, wisdom, and clarity to lead us and guide us through every moment of every day. We're expanding into love, expanding into an awareness of the fullness of love that's already our being. It's already our true identity. And we're sharing this beautiful awareness with everyone because we're one with them. So grateful, so thankful to open ourselves to the power of love. In gratitude, we allow it to be, and so it is. Amen. 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 So in our class today, what I would like to do is give you, as advertised, some practical tips and tools that you can use to apply to your life to expand into love. And anyone who listens to me for any length of time knows that the primary thing I have found that is the healing of my mind is the active practice of forgiveness, which of course is what A Course in Miracles is all about. And yet, I have met so many people over the years who've been studying A Course in Miracles far longer than I have, and yet they don't understand what forgiveness is. And they're not actively practicing it. So they've been reading and studying A Course in Miracles for a long time without really experiencing the benefits. And I can honestly say for myself, there was quite a period of time where I was studying a lot of spiritual material and gaining a lot of information and some insight. And yet the ego was driving my spiritual studies and my spiritual practice. And no matter how much I studied, no matter what a good student I was, and even no matter how much I volunteered and was of service in my spiritual community and my civic community, I was still feeling helpless and hopeless at times, cycling in and out of that, and feeling that these things work for other people but not for me. And then I would go into despair. And one of the things for me that was a pattern in my life was disappointment. I was constantly feeling disappointed. And that disappointment was, it was the same thing really, repeating over and over again. And in my experience of it, I had this belief that people were unreliable, people were undependable, people didn't keep their agreements, people would let you down, they're not trustworthy. And I was very attached to that belief. And of course, in many ways, I myself was not dependable, not reliable, not trustworthy. And I didn't want to look at that. What I was so bothered by in the world was actually a mirror reflection of what was going on with me. Because I talked a lot about being impeccable with your word and being loving, being compassionate, while all the while I was secretly very judgmental and attacking and not impeccable with my word. So the things that I saw in the world that bothered me were very much the things in my own mind that bothered me. Other people's lack of integrity bothered me. I didn't wish to look at my own areas where I had a lack of integrity. And then I had an experience. I'm trying to remember what it was now. Where somebody accused me of a lack of integrity. And I realized, oh, you know what? You don't want to accuse other people of lack of integrity. You really don't. Because it's just going to come back and bite you. It really is. Just monitor yourself. Everybody has enough to do without complaining about other people, bemoaning other people, their lack of integrity, their lack of trustworthiness. Just focus on yourself. I learned that lesson, and I remember at the time it felt hard, felt painful. But I was grateful because I learned it well. Just focus on yourself, Jennifer. That's really all you need to do. Everybody else, just love them. Have compassion for them. You're not the boss of them. You don't want to be the boss of them. You tried that, been there, did that, failed, was miserable. hated yourself. Don't return to that. Just be the boss of yourself. And in being the boss of myself, I also realized, you know what? Let the Holy Spirit be the boss of me. Yeah, I think that's going to be a better plan, because as it says in the Course, and John Mundy and I were talking about this earlier in the series, Jesus actually says to us, you don't even know what's going to make you happy, so stop thinking that you do. That is actually one of the best ways to begin to actually find true happiness, is to stop thinking you know how to accomplish it. You don't know. Give it to me. I know. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. I know the way to perfect happiness. Let me take you by the hand and show you the way. But how can I show you the way if you think you know the way? You're going to argue with me the whole way. Enough. I'm not going to, you know, Jesus is not going to argue with us, right? Imagine that Jesus showed up in form and he said to you, tomorrow we've got Gary Renard in our class, Art and Persa, showing up on your sofa, as it happens in his book, Disappearance of the Universe, two ascended masters showing up on his sofa to help him to understand A Course in Miracles. Let's say Jesus shows up on your sofa one night. You're going to sit down with a bowl of popcorn and watch a movie, and you come back from the kitchen with the popcorn, and there's Jesus saying, hey, you can watch the movie another time. Let's just have a chat here for a while. You say you'd like to have perfect happiness. I'm here to show you the way. Would you like to have perfect happiness? Just think about it. A lot of people would say, well, that depends. What do I have to do, right? How many of us would actually say, yes, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Perfect happiness is exactly what I would like. How did you know? I don't even care what color it comes in. That's what I'm interested in. And you might say, he's going to say something tailored to you. Just like he said to the rich young man, who came to him and said, Jesus, dude, you are awesome. You are so amazing. I think you are incredible. And my heart's desire is to follow you and be one of your students, one of your disciples. Can I come with you? And Jesus said, oh, that would be so great. Yes, you're more than welcome to join us. Here's what you do. Give everything you have to the poor. Meet us at the edge of town, 6 o'clock, we'll be at the tavern, I'll see you there. And you just know that rich young man went, well, let's see. Now that sounds like a great idea. That's option one. Let's see if there's another option where I don't give everything to the poor. Maybe I just give my furnishings to the poor, but I keep the cash. Or maybe I liquidate everything and keep the cash. And that way, when there's expenses that come up on the road, we need a donkey, something like that, I've got the cash, I can pay for it. And Jesus says, that's not the plan. You won't be able to come with us on the spiritual journey I'm inviting you to, that you would like, that will bring you perfect happiness, and still hold on to all your stuff. You've got to let the past go, which means relinquishing it all. Now, that's not going to be everybody's path, but it is a path for some people to finally get into their heart. They have to let the past and everything go. So as I was preparing for our class today, I was contemplating, and Spirit showed me disappointments stand in the way of people really being able to love themselves, to love their neighbors, to love everyone. And in the text of A Course in Miracles, which I enjoy thoroughly, there's a section in chapter 16 that's entitled The End of Illusions. And expanding into love is going to bring us to the end of illusions and delusions. And it says right at the beginning of this section in chapter 16, it's section 7, The End of Illusions. It says, it is impossible to let the past go without relinquishing the special relationship. For the special relationship is an attempt to reenact the past and change it. Now, to expand into love, we do have to let go of special relationships. So for those who are new to A Course in Miracles, and maybe you're having some relationship issues, maybe you're a longtime Course in Miracles student, if you're having relationship issues, one resource I'm just going to share with you here is my radio show. I've been doing my radio show since September 2011. So that's 6 years almost. And so there's hundreds of episodes. We're coming up on the 300th episode, actually. That'll be this summer. And I've got episodes with Ken Wapnick and David Hoffmeister and Regina Dawn Akers, Nook Sanchez, Nick Davis. Oh, just everybody. So many Course in Miracles friends. And usually in the month of February, I dedicate that month to relationship. And I've done many, many, many episodes throughout the year on relationship. It's a strong theme. And A Course in Miracles tells us that our relationships are the very best tool we have for our awakening. So I just point you to all those episodes, and we're in the process of transcribing them all as well. And I'll just mention that if we haven't transcribed an episode that you'd like to have a transcript for, if we haven't gotten to it yet, we can put it to the top of the list if you write to us at admin@jenniferhadley.com. And you can find the all the radio show episodes and those transcripts at livingacourseofmiracles.com/radio. livingacourseofmiracles.com/radio. So there's lots in there about special relationships, holy relationships, transforming relationships, healing relationships. So if you're interested in this topic, there's a lot more there for you. Of course, it's all free. Now, special relationship, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, is an ego-based relationship. And A Course in Miracles talks about ego-based relationships, which are relationships we have, the small self has. And then there's the holy relationship, which is the higher Holy Spirit self relationship. And we can have a holy relationship with everyone, with anyone, or we can have a special relationship. All special relationships are relationships that are painful. All holy relationships are relationships that are helping us to expand into love. That's what they're for, and that's what they do. And if you suspect that you're in a special relationship, how you know is there's a lot of unhappiness, there's fear, there's worry, there's doubt, there's pain, there's suffering. And we can have a special relationship with a pet, with a coworker. It does not have to be a romantic relationship. It can be with our parent, our child, our neighbor. But any relationship that feels painful and unfulfilling, that's a special relationship. If you're feeling needing, wanting, grasping, that's a special relationship. If you're trying to manage, control, or manipulate the relationship, you're in a special relationship. And so you can give it to the Holy Spirit for healing, and the Holy Spirit will immediately begin transforming the relationship into a holy one. But sometimes what happens is the relationship becomes so transformed that it's not what you thought it would become. So for some people, they might have a friendship that is a very difficult friendship that turns into a romantic relationship. Unexpected. You might have a romantic relationship that turns into a friendship, right? Or you might complete a relationship and then you don't need to be friends anymore. You move along. We don't know, and we have to give up the attachment of thinking we know. But special relationships are the opposite of expanding into love. What they are is further identifying with the ego, with the body, with smallness and specialness. Specialness is a strong theme in A Course in Miracles, that a lot of our suffering is caused because we need somebody to think we're special. And we could be special because we're so messed up, or we could be special because we have a special gift, a special talent. Special relationships are often, oh, you completely complete me, like Jerry Maguire. And of course, the thing is, we're already complete. We don't need anybody to complete us, because in truth, everyone completes us, because we're all one. We're already complete. We're part of the oneness. Therefore, we are complete. But oftentimes, we don't feel complete. And we are looking for someone to complete us, thinking that the answer is outside of ourselves. And when that's what's going on, we're going to come to disappointment. I'm going to pause here 1 second and blow my nose. So in this section 7 of chapter 16, End of Illusions, it is impossible to let the past go without relinquishing the special relationship. For the special relationship is an attempt to reenact the past and change it. So what does that mean? Well, let's say in the past could be another lifetime, another incarnation. In the past, let's say you had an experience where you weren't cherished. And now you enter into a relationship because this person cherishes you. But then maybe you don't feel deserving of being cherished. While you want it very badly, perhaps unconsciously, you do not feel deserving of it. And so the person who cherishes you is going to become, in your mind, someone who's an idiot. Because why would you be cherished? You're not worthy of it. So you reject anyone who cherishes you. These are the kinds of ways that we repeat the past. And now we're having an experience, so it seems, that person now no longer cherishes us. We're being abandoned now. And just like in the past. And so the special relationship seems to give us the opportunity to heal the past and change it. Or it says reenact the past and change it. Now, what it does, it gives us an opportunity to heal the past in the form of forgiveness. So if we can forgive ourselves for alienating the very person who loves us and adores us, if we can forgive ourselves for pushing away the people that are trying to help us, if we can forgive ourselves or forgive the people who seem to have disrespected us and disregarded us, knowing that in there was some opportunity for us to grow that we rejected. and now we're willing to receive it. And if we can, in the moment, like we were talking about yesterday with Miranda, give everything to the Holy Spirit for healing and not think that we have to figure it out. Oh my gosh, it's such a slow road to healing to figure everything out. So it says here, the special relationship is an attempt to reenact the past and change it. Imagined slights, remembered pain, past disappointments, perceived injustices, and deprivations all enter into the special relationship, which becomes a way in which you seek to restore your wounded self-esteem. So the thing is, and psychologists talk about this, they talk about it all the time, that this is fundamental to why we choose who we choose, that many people are attracted to the parent that they feel wounded by or troubled by, or to try and have a healing with that parent using the new person as a surrogate, right? That's basic psychology. And it is what many people are doing. However, if we've been wounded in the past, and who among us was not, right? We've all been wounded and we've all done things to wound other people. And it could be this incarnation, could be another. It just doesn't really matter. We're all one. And the past is the past. So no matter what we're trying to reenact in the present moment, the fastest path to healing is to give it to the Holy Spirit, to be led and guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. That is the fastest path for our healing. We don't have to figure any of it out. And it is actually pure ego to think that we can or that we should. Yesterday, Miranda was talking about that one of the necessary aspects of our healing that we embrace in order to have true expansion and clarity and to have a life of love is we must develop humility. And I think that humility is often misunderstood. So humility really is, as many people know, it's not being driven by the ego. And it is not thinking you're better than or less than anyone. That's true humility. And true humility also is the full recognition that we're all one. Because if we're all one and we know it, then in our mind, there's no better than or less than. There's just the oneness. And I have found that so helpful in my own development of humility. So that if someone is disrespectful for me, I don't have to take offense because I'm not, if someone thinks I'm less than them and I don't deserve or I'm bad or wrong, I don't feel that way about myself. So I don't have to be offended by what they think. I can see what they're espousing is a cry for love. They're trying to attack me is a cry for love. Anyone's thinking that someone is bad or wrong, or that someone should do something, all shame, all blame, all attempts to make others feel guilty, or our own guilt, all of it is attack. And the person who is attacking does not have humility. Because humility and oneness really are synonymous. So we open our awareness to that oneness. And that's how we gain access to true humility. So back here to the disappointments. So it says, Again, we're in the end of illusions. It's section 7 in chapter 16. It says, all disappointments, all pain from the past, perceived injustices and deprivations, all enter into the special relationship, which becomes a way in which you seek to restore your wounded self-esteem. What basis would you have for choosing a special partner without the past? Every such choice is made because of something evil in the past to which you cling and for which must someone else atone. So it says the special relationship takes vengeance on the past. And disappointment is a key theme in special relationships. Why? Because we're looking, using the special relationship as a mechanism, we're looking for the special relationship to restore our self-esteem. It's you plus me equals completion, equals wholeness, equals freedom. That's the whole basis of a special relationship. And of course, that thinking is an absolute affirmation and declaration that you do not believe you're already whole, that you're already perfect, that you're already beautiful, that you're already lovable. So when we enter into the special relationship with the idea that someone is going to complete us, someone's going to validate us, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment because no one can actually do that. Our fastest path to healing is that recognition that we're already whole, we're already perfect, we're already complete. But you see, in order to move into the awareness of already whole, already perfect, already complete, we have to give up all the stories that we've made. Everything that we've crafted and created about ourselves, about the past, and all the meaning that we've given to it. Right now, when we were with John Mundy, we were talking about responsibility for sight as being so critical. And I'm just going to go back to that here. So that's chapter 21, section 2. And I don't know that I read the whole thing in that homework class, but here it is, the juicy, juicy part here. It says that this prayer, which I'll read in just a moment, is the only thing that you need do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies. And here's the it's not quite a prayer, it's an affirmation. And it goes, I'm responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Now think about it with a special relationship. If you're entering into the special relationship so that you can attempt to reenact the past and change it. And in the past, you were hurt, you were disappointed, you were frightened, you were worried, you felt guilty, you felt ashamed, whatever it was, that now you're going to reenact. Isn't that a really unpleasant way to heal your mind, reenacting the things that upset you? What would possibly be loving about that method of learning? Do you see how painful that is? You're setting yourself up for rejection, disappointment, and all of that. So now you can reenact the past and change it. Now, from the ego's perspective, thinking, oh, this time I'm going to marry somebody who's like my abusive father, but I'm going to heal him. And this time we're going to transcend it. Some people do that through practicing love, and that's beautiful. And the Holy Spirit can definitely do it for you and do the heavy lifting. But you know, the thing is when you're giving your special relationship to the Holy Spirit for healing, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you and direct you where to forgive, when to forgive, what to forgive, all the judgments to be let go of, all the meaning that you've made of things to let go of, all the interpretations to let go of. And what I see is the majority of people, and of course, Miracles talks about this in chapter 17, section 5, the healed relationship. Very clearly, it says most people will abandon the special relationship when the real healing starts happening, because it becomes very challenging, because we've picked a challenging way to heal our mind. That's why it becomes so challenging. We've picked that method of reenactment. And it says in there, and many people will abandon the healing process and go off and start another special relationship rather than see the special relationship transformed into a holy relationship, because they are terrified of having to go through the experience. But we don't have to go through that painful experience. We don't have to go through the reenactment. That's a choice that we're making. We can actively give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. But you see, the Holy Spirit, like I said, is going to confront you with your judgments and your opinions. The Holy Spirit's going to confront you gently, usually quite gently, with an opportunity to change your mind. And this is where many people fall apart, because they're just not willing to change their mind. They've made a meaning of the past. This experience is reenacting the past. It has the same meaning for me that the past has. I'm not willing to change my mind. I know all about this from my past. And here it is again. Because I'm such a loser, I'm experiencing the past repeating. You see, this is all interpretation. This is all the meaning that we made of it, which completely prevents us from expanding into loving ourselves or anyone else. But it's not the only option. A Course in Miracles tells us very clearly that we don't have to learn through pain. Learning through pain is a choice. That it's much easier and faster to learn through joy. And if we allow it, the Holy Spirit will show us. So you can think of the rich young man. He just could not imagine that life would be better walking with the Christ than having his comforts, his worldly goods and comforts. He couldn't imagine that he could be happier sleeping under the stars or in a barn or not knowing where the next meal would come from, but trusting his teacher to provide, to take care of him. He couldn't feel safe that way. And not that we have to give up our worldly goods and go sleep out under the stars, and I'm certainly not doing that, although I love to go camping. And I try to go camping for an extended period every year because I love it so much. I love being in the woods and in the mountains and places like that. But I'm not sleeping on the ground with bugs biting me. I'm in a tent with a really nice inflatable mattress for a queen. queen size inflatable mattress because I like that. I don't need it, but I like it. And I can have it, so why not? Just an example, like what I have found in my own personal life, expanding into love, I've had to let go of the attachments again and again and again. Goes back to choosing surrender that we were talking about with John Mundy. It's required for us to surrender the attachments because all attachments cause suffering, and they cause suffering in the form of multiple disappointments. So that's why I'm asking you to look within to what relationships you have that are consistently disappointing to you. It's very common for people to think that it's the other person that's disappointing me. But actually, we're in a relationship with that person precisely because they're not going to meet our expectations, so that we can heal the attachments that are expectations. Expectations are attachments. All attachments cause suffering. The person who seems to disappoint us is actually helping us to release our expectations. And I've seen it time and time again that when people are finally willing to release their expectations, the disappointments stop happening. And they think it's because of something that's in the world, but it's because it's the shift in our heart. Imagine being in a relationship, and maybe some of you are, imagine being in a relationship with someone who constantly has expectations of you that they don't even tell you about. And then they're disappointed because you don't meet their expectations. But they didn't even tell you what they were. I used to be bothered by things like that. And now I see it's just a cry for love. That many people, they feel dead in their heart. And so one of the ways that they feel alive is to be upset. But no one actually is dead in their heart. Of Course in Miracles makes that very clear, that the spark of our divinity is always there. It does not go out. It cannot go out. And it doesn't require a huge effort to expand into love, to open to love. But we do have to let go of these attachments, the grievances. So going back to the responsibility for sight, that statement, I'm responsible for what I see, I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. Can you see that, how that plays out in a special relationship? That if the special relationship is about reenacting the past in order to change it, can you see how I am choosing the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve? And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. If we decide the way that we're going to heal our mind is through special relationships and attempting to reenact the past and change them, or change the past, then the Holy Spirit will assist us in doing that. That's our choice. We can do it. The Holy Spirit's not going to intervene. However, the Holy Spirit will send us messages all the time that say, there's a better way. There's a better way. There's a faster way. There's an easier way. There's a sweeter way. There's a wonderful way. There's a beautiful way. There's a holy way. You can choose. Do you want to go the ugly way, the disappointed way, the hard way, the long way? Which way would you like to go? It's up to you. Because the Holy Spirit knows that everything that happens in this world stays in this world, like Vegas. So if you would like to play the nickel slots and sit there for most of your life, pulling the handle, putting another nickel in, the Holy Spirit, sure, you can do that. However, if you'd like to do some other method, you can do that too. But think about how many times somebody has given you an offer of love, of support, of expansion, and you don't take it. It could be like with the rich young man. You don't know what's going to be asked of you. You don't want to give up anything you've got because you value what you've got. The uncertainty is what bothers a lot of people. Why? Because the ego likes to be able to know what's next. I've learned that for expanding into love in my life, that a lot of the time I'm standing on a precipice where I don't know what's next. I don't know what's next in the class. I don't know what's next in the conversation. I don't know what's next in the relationship. I don't know. But I've come to know this. It's going to be for my good, and it's not going to be painful. It used to be when I was trying to control everything and try to manage and manipulate everything, most things were difficult and painful. Lots of that. Lots of hardship. Lots of frustration. Lots of disappointment. Lots of resentment and regret. Lots of guilt and blame and shame. Constantly cycling through those upset emotions. Taking offense was a daily occurrence. Sometimes hourly. I used to look for things to be annoyed and upset about. It's different now. And it's so much nicer. But I had to give up knowing what was going to be happening all the time. And that was an adjustment period. So one of the ways that we expand into love is we stop the constriction, right? How can you expand into love if your daily practice has to do with constriction? So many people will avoid connecting with others. They'll isolate and things like that. And they often will do it, I certainly did, in the guise of, oh, I am being so spiritual, I'm going to take my time with God. Now, yes, I still like to have a significant amount of time where I'm on my own and being contemplative and being with God, but I don't feel like I'm isolating anymore. And in my time alone, I'm not self-medicating. I'm not doing things I'm ashamed about. I'm not embarrassed. I feel like if I was on a reality TV program and everybody, there were cameras in wherever I was going with me all the time, I would be fine if everybody was watching me, what I'm eating, what I'm wearing, what I'm doing, how I'm investing my energy, my time, my awareness. I would be totally fine with that. But there was a time when for a lot of my life, I sure as heck did not want anybody else watching me because I was ashamed of my self-medication and all kinds of things that I used to do. I was ashamed. So we can eliminate those behaviors that keep us recycling in the shame. And one of the ways that gets us out of that is to take responsibility for everything. And as I shared in the class with John Mundy, my little practice of that taking responsibility, I use the statement, I am responsible for what I see, and everything is just as I wish it would be. I am responsible for what I see, and everything is just as I wish it would be. And so I am, when I, there's something in my life that I don't like, I can say, I say that to myself, well, everything works together for my good. I'm responsible for this. And I can take responsibility without any blame, right? The ego is always looking to blame. The ego is always looking to attack somebody else's fault. Or I'm an idiot. I'm so stupid. What's wrong with me? But when we're expanding into love actively, those are not the thoughts that are coming forth. So when we're still hearing those thoughts, those negative thoughts, we just give them to the Holy Spirit. I know it sounds too simple to believe that could actually work, but it does. It does. It's that beautiful prayer at the end of chapter 5 about, and I call it the parents' prayer, because I think a lot of parents feel guilty of things they've said with their kids. So it's the, I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing the Holy Spirit to decide for God, for me. And it says in this section at the end of chapter 5, right before that practice, it says, the first step in the undoing is to recognize that you actively decided wrongly, but can as actively decide otherwise. Be very firm with yourself in this and keep yourself fully aware that the undoing process, which does not come from you, is nevertheless within you because God placed it there. Your part is merely to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made and give it over to the atonement in peace. Say this to yourself as sincerely as you can, remembering the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. So this little prayer practice, combined with responsibility for sight, taking these two, and adding in the I Am Truly Helpful prayer on page 28, which is so helpful to us. It's just a giant relief. It's our, I call it the purpose prayer. And it's in chapter 2, section 5, where it says, it's right at the end of section 5 in chapter 2. You can do much on behalf of your own healing and that of others in a situation calling for help. Think of it this way. And here's the prayer. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because he who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. So you see, this is the prayer that defines our purpose, to be truly helpful. And how could we see through all directions of time and space, in all situations and circumstances, to know what to do? ahead of time and be prepared. But we can be guided by the Holy Spirit, and then it's wonderful how it unfolds. I experience that every day, and that's what the rich young man wouldn't give himself the joy of knowing, because he wanted to get out in front of everything, which is what the ego always does. The ego wants to know, well, how? How's it going to happen? How will we get there? How will it work? How? But that's not ours to know. We don't need to know the how. We learn to allow. That's expanding into love, being led and guided by love. The Spirit will guide us. The Spirit will tell us what to say, where to go, and what to do. And you know what? For most of us, there's a period where we learn that ability, that skill. I certainly have learnt it. I'm going to take a sip here. Just a moment, please. My spiritual espresso. By the way, I write a daily blog, and I record a daily prayer that anyone can subscribe to, and at jenniferhadley.com. You can go to the blog page, and you'll see the form to sign up. And you know what? I think it might be on the page for this class as well, that you can sign up for it. And the reason I do that, it's part of my spiritual practice to write down what I'm learning, and it's part of my spiritual practice to pray. And so I record those prayers. We're transcribing those prayers, and because the people who were deaf had a desire to be able to access them. And also people wanted to be able to print them out and say them themselves. So we do that pretty much every day, I think. And so my daily blog is called Spiritual Espresso, because it's like a daily shot for awakening, alertness, spiritual caffeine. Is the intention there, the aspiration behind it. So taking responsibility for everything without any blame whatsoever, zero blame, total responsibility, and then simultaneously turning everything over to the Holy Spirit, being willing to be truly helpful in every moment, and making that the desire of your heart, to be a beneficial presence, to be of service to the light. Sometimes I say, I serve the light. That's my mission, to awaken and be of service. And to me, being of service is the greatest joy. It's being in the flow of love. And to have this practice of every time we feel a disturbance, to recognize I must have decided wrongly. That's taking responsibility. And then giving all the consequences of my wrong decision to the Holy Spirit. That's loving myself enough not to be upset anymore and not to feel guilty or ashamed or worried because of the choice I made. That was unloving. I'm now making the loving choice, which corrects the unloving choice that I recently made. So it's also a practice of self-forgiveness. And one of the things that I realized that was so helpful to me in this expansion into love is to recognize that every time I make an error and am unloving, and I'm aware of it, and I choose not to judge myself or if I have judged myself, to then forgive myself, which is to release the meaning that I made of it. If that's my practice, then actually every time I make an error and then I love myself free of all the judgment around it, I'm more actively practicing love. And so my life becomes more loving. And I found that was an amazing healing practice that brought so much more love into my life. And it's just me with me. That every time I made an error and realized I wasn't at peace, that I could love myself enough not to judge myself, to relinquish the judgment, to relinquish the self-attack thought. And I would say things to myself like, oh, honey, everybody makes errors. That's how we learn and grow. So no judgment. You're learning and you're growing. It's a wonderful and beautiful thing. You're doing great. I literally would say those things to myself. And I would start with, honey, sweetheart, darling, you're a learner. Look how much you're learning. You just learned that if you make that choice, it's an owie. It's not fun. The joy is gone. That's really good to know. Good for you. You know that now. Well done, girl. You're such a good learner. There's no judgment because we're learning. Everybody learns. And there's no pain because I'm loving myself and appreciating that I'm a learner and grateful for my learning. So gratitude is a real partner practice. It's actually taking the moment to think loving thoughts and say them to myself with gratitude. Love and gratitude, love and gratitude, love and gratitude. That's how we really expand into love. It's a profound practice. And it's really what everything I do is dedicated to. So my daily spiritual espresso, my radio show, I'm sharing over and over and over again the myriad ways that I'm finding to be loving in my own heart and mind and the transformation that I'm experiencing. That's what my year-long Masterful Living course is about. That's what my Finding Freedom Boot Camp is about. Those classes are all about really walking the talk and living the love. That's my thing. And so I've experienced a tremendous amount of pain and suffering in my life that I caused. And now I rejoice for every bit of it, because I've learned so much from it, and I can take that learning and pass it on to others so they can interrupt their patterns of pain. And that's what this whole series is. It's about opening to spiritual sight, cultivating spiritual sight, which is insight, awareness, intuition, inspiration, divine guidance, so that we can release the pain patterns and expand into love. So I'm very grateful to be able to join with you today and to share these things. And let me just see if the Holy Spirit... Oh, I know. There was one other thing I was going to share with you. Miranda was talking about grace a lot yesterday. And in chapter 26, section 8, paragraph 6, it says, the working out of all correction takes no time at all. Yet the acceptance of the working out can seem to take forever. I'm going to repeat that. The working out of all correction takes no time at all. So the complete healing of our mind takes no time at all. Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, one of my favorite quotes of his was, healing does not take time. The only time it takes to have a healing is the time that it takes to have a realization. I love that. So what's the realization? The realization of our true nature and our true identity We can have that in an instant, like the disciple Paul on the road to Damascus. He was Saul, the Christian persecutor. He had an experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus that transformed him, and he became one of the apostles. The working out of all correction takes no time at all. And Saul was a vicious, cruel persecutor. The working out of all correction takes no time at all. Yet, the acceptance of the working out can seem to take forever. The change of purpose the Holy Spirit brought to your relationship has in it all effects that you will see. They can be looked at now. Why wait till they unfold in time and fear they may not come, although already there? You've been told that everything brings good that comes from God, and yet it seems as if this is not so. Good in disastrous form is difficult to credit in advance, nor is there really sense in this idea. So sometimes what we do is we just don't value the learning unless we get it through pain. We just are so convinced that that's how it has to come, that we have to do this thing of having the special relationship as an attempt to reenact the past and change it. But we should give all that up to the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to figure out every little detail that's not working or where all the attachments are. We can just say, Holy Spirit, I'm giving all the attachments to you. And then later in that day, we might find ourselves feeling irritated. Well, there's an attachment. Give that one to the Holy Spirit. Oh, now I'm feeling sad. There's an attachment. Give it to the Holy Spirit. Oh, now I'm feeling angry. There's an attachment. Give it to the Holy Spirit. This is how we expand into love, by giving up all the blocks to love, to heal by the Holy Spirit. All right. So I'm going to wrap this up here. It's been such a pleasure to join with you today. I feel so grateful. And I feel so grateful to all the people who've given a financial contribution to make these classes free. It used to be we really felt we had to charge money until there was an established group of people who were willing to contribute so we could give them away free. So God bless you. Anyone who gives anything at all, you're contributing to many thousands of people around the world living the love and walking the talk. Yes, it amazes me how many people will ultimately hear this class. So, tomorrow we have Gary Renard. We're going to learn a lot about intuition, listening to divine guidance. I look forward to that. And let's place our hand on our heart. So grateful, so thankful. Let's take a breath here. You know, I'm guided to say that if you're interested in becoming a spiritual counselor, I have a program and I have a week-long intensive. The next one's coming up just about a month from now, June 19th to the 26th. All those details are at jenniferhadley.com, along with more resources. I forget to say certain things, and then people are like, oh, I didn't even know. So we take that breath of love and gratitude, so grateful and thankful that the love of God is all that we are and all that we ever will be. So grateful and thankful to expand into love is our way of being, our way of living. Our way of living is loving. We are grateful and thankful to consciously attune to the higher Holy Spirit self, to live the love, to walk the talk, to be generous of spirit in every moment. We're giving all the blocks to love to the Holy Spirit for healing. We're making a holy offering of them. We're opening our hearts and minds to the power of love living through us and as us. So grateful and so thankful to consciously receive divine guidance, insight, wisdom, and clarity. In gratitude, we let the healing be. In gratitude, we know it's done. And so it is. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for joining with me. I love you. I appreciate you. Mwah.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.